Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Warp, the Watch and Recap podcast. We're newly rebranded because we're not just doing episodes of The Big Bang Theory anymore. We are going to be branching out to other things, but today we're still doing The Big Bang Theory, so tune in next week for WandaVision, but today we're doing episode 4. Before I watch the episode, I'm going to go ahead and give my theory of what happens. Episode 4, titled The Luminous Fish Effect. So the synopsis says, Sheldon's getting fired forces him to explore what life has to offer outside of physics, leaving Leonard to take drastic action to snap his friend out of his funk. So life outside of physics. He's gonna try drugs. That's what's gonna happen. He's gonna try really hard narcotics. He's gonna develop an addiction, and Leonard is not gonna be able to afford rent all on his own. He's gonna need Sheldon to get a job. And to get him a job, he needs to get clean first. So Leonard's gonna kidnap him, along with Raj and Howard, and they are going to, I guess they're gonna waterboard him or something. That seems pretty drastic, and I don't think that's a rehabilitation technique, but it might work. Why not? Desperate times call for desperate measures. So then, once they get Sheldon clean, he's gonna get, he might get his old job back, or he might just get a new job altogether. Yeah, I think he's gonna get a new job, doing something. No. And, then he's going to develop a formula for a new brand of crystal meth that, they are gonna sell, and then Leonard's gonna be able to afford, his rent that month. So, way to go. I guess physics isn't the same as chemistry, but Sheldon's a smart guy. I'm sure he can figure out. I'm sure he's a jack of all trades. I'll figure something out. So, let's see what the guys get up to in episode 4, The Luminous Fish Effect. We'll see you in a bit. So, we're back. We're with Selena once again. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, of course.
We just watched episode 4, and or actually, did you rewatch it also?
I did. It was like a day or two ago I rewatched it.
Okay, right on. Cool. Mm-hmm. So right off the bat, I also wanted to tell you that I kind of tried listening to some other recap podcasts just to see what the format generally is, and yeah, it's just kind of just them going through the show and talking about what they did like, what they didn't like, and asking questions about, you know, what do you think of this and this, and then like in one case they were talking about episode I listened to an episode of Seinfeld, and in that case they were able to do like talk about the way the characters started out and how they would develop later on, but like I can't do that because I have never seen this show, but I guess if you want to shed some light on stuff like that, sure.
Okay. Why not? If you don't mind spoilers, yeah, I don't mind providing my to season 7 insight.
Man, I shouldn't mind. Why not? Maybe it'll give you something to look forward to.
Yeah, you know, it occurred to me today too that there is a podcast I listen to sometimes. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Watch What Crappens, and it's basically these two guys. We'll discuss, they watch almost every series on Bravo, and they'll discuss every episode from said series, but they do voices and imitations of the people featured in their shows. Oh no, that's what makes the podcast great. They're just, okay. It's just hilarious. I'm not saying we should do voices and imitations.
Well, I'm saying you should, you definitely
oh,
should.
Oh my God. I think it'd be offensive if I tried to do Raj, but
yeah, maybe, probably a little bit.
But no, yeah, I'll sprinkle it in where I can. I'll say that much.
Okay, great. I don't feel like I know these characters well enough to
imitate. But you gotta. Yeah, at least by end of season 1, you totally could.
I don't have a firm grip on it yet, though. Cool. So let's see. Oh yeah, yeah. So, just right off the bat, I'm going to say, didn't like this episode. Really, really, like, I thought we were making progress with the last one. And with this one, I was just like, no, we're still in the woods here. We're not out of the woods yet, I guess, is more accurate.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, should we get into it and
sure.
and talk
yeah,
about
let's start.
So it starts off with Sheldon. He's talking about his time travel theory about how when he finally does invent time travel, or not invent it, but I guess perfect it or develop a way to make it possible, that he's just going to go back in time and give himself the answers so that he doesn't have to do all the work. And I guess just my thoughts on that was just like, it's not exactly... Because he makes it sound like he's been thinking long and hard about it. But that's like time travel 101. Like, everyone... That's like the first concept you turn to when you're thinking about time travel. You think, well, if it was invented by now, we would know about it. Right?
Yeah. So, no, there's always that that paradox of time travel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right off the bat... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say time travel is going to come up again too in another episode, because they, in another episode in a few seasons, they actually get a replica or the exact time machine they used in the movie, The Time Machine.
Yeah, I've seen
if
that.
I'm remembering that correctly.
That promo, that they have it on TBS, I think.
Okay.
It's one of their promos, yeah. But,
okay.
Yeah, right away I was just like, Sheldon, you ignorant slut. Like, You're not as I don't know. I thought you were supposed to be the smart one, is what I was thinking. But yeah. So then he starts talking smack about his department head to Leonard, because they're going to some department meeting or party. I think was it like a Christmas party? I'm not sure.
And I think it was just a regular party because there's a new department head.
Oh yeah, so it's just to, like mingle and stuff.
And Howard shows up with a date.
Yeah, like an Amazon, an Amazonian. And she's very tall, very buxom. And
let us remember, touching is extra.
Yes. So it's implied that he is paying her. But yeah, so that just kind of made me think, is she just an escort or is she a full-on prostitute? Is he hoping to like take her home later on and, you know, do the deed, you know?
Oh gosh, I guess I have to be the one that's sex worker, Chris.
Sex worker. There you go. I'm sorry. No, you're right.
No, it's okay.
My bad.
For listeners, that's gotten mentioned in another podcast I listen to. We need to say sex workers, not prostitutes.
Fair enough. A sex worker.
Yeah, no, most likely she was an escort, given the way she said touching is extra. So therefore, those services were not paid for.
Yeah, you're right. But is Howard the kind of guy who has to pay for it, you think?
Yeah.
No, I mean,
he'll get it wherever he... Howard's the kind of guy who will take whatever he can get. And then, yeah, of course, he would kind of fall for a sex worker.
Nice. Cool. But yeah, that was... No, that wasn't really a good joke at all in the show. I think I just liked the pretty girl, and that was it. And then the guy, Gablehauser, I think was his name, he comes over and introduces himself to Howard and Sheldon, and Sheldon just kind of belittles him, and it's implied in the next scene that he was fired because of it, which...
Right.
Yeah, it's understandable. I guess you shouldn't be talking down to your boss.
Right. But,
yeah, especially since he hasn't gotten the time to know and appreciate Sheldon's quirks, I guess.
But yeah.
Even then.
I think it's because Sheldon referred to himself as a real scientist. I think that was part of it.
Yeah. Well, they say in the next scene that he called him a glorified high school science teacher, I think.
Yes, that too.
Yeah, who was last experiment was just setting his farts on fire.
Sheldon.
And he gives him the boot. And so the next day, Sheldon's in the kitchenette area cooking breakfast as part of an experiment. I kind of forget what it was that he was doing something with eggs specifically, to see how they taste. I don't know. I didn't catch I was busy writing down my notes to catch what he said, but
Yeah, I was like, was it like to perfect the scrambled egg recipe? I don't know.
I think I that know. Sounds about because I know he later on he wants like different types of eggs to see I guess which ones work best as a recipe.
Yeah, no, it's kind of funny. I remember you just see him actually sit down, eat the eggs, and then not like make a face because of the eggs he just ate and start jotting down notes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because then he says that the eggs need to be new, I guess. They can't be old. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was intentionally something he was an intentional factor. Is he was just like, well, let's see if we can make old eggs taste good, or if it was just happenstance that they just happen to have old eggs. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, Leonard sees him cooking the breakfast and tells him to just go apologize and maybe he can get his job back. But Sheldon says that no, that he's been pretty much busting his ass since forever, and that this is the first break he's gotten, which kind of, you know, I felt for him there. Like, I could understand that. Like, I was a person that really hated school. But yeah, he says he got into college right after fifth grade.
Right.
Which is impressive, but I guess they kind of play it for a joke, but I guess it's also just supposed to be impressive. You're supposed to get an idea of how intelligent this guy is, even though he can't figure out time travel theories.
Who knows? Maybe that was an error on the writer's part as far as like, well, no, then it would have, you know what I mean? They didn't think that one through.
Oh, about what? The fifth grade thing?
No, about the time loop thing.
Oh, yeah.
Or how time travel works. No, I'm sure. But anyway.
I'm sure it was just... It was just there just to, I guess, give them something to talk about. It has really no bearing on the episode or the character development, true. I guess. But, yeah, he decides to take some time off. Take it easy. I can't blame him. He just wants to hang out at the apartment or whatever. And so he turns into a little foodie. He's taking pictures of his food and doesn't like the rotten eggs. So when Penny comes by to see if he needs something from the store... he says that she's just going to mess up his order. He's going to go with her. And she does not seem pleased about it at all. Which, I was just like, if you're going to, you know, not really want to associate with your neighbors, don't go over there and, you know, ask them stuff. Just avoid them. Avoid at all costs. Be a normal person, you know?
But she's friends with them at this point. So, yeah, she would stop by and be like, hey, I'm going to the store. Do you guys want anything?
Maybe she's just friends with them.
Man, because... you must be really friendly with your although now that I think about it, man, you and your neighbors must be really good friends for you to want to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, maybe she's just trying to be friends with them because she's afraid one day Sheldon's going to go postal and, you know, just wipe out the whole apartment building. And she's just like, you know, if I'm this guy's friend, maybe he'll take it easy on me.
I was gonna say, honestly, knowing Penny and Penny's character, it's so that if Sheldon and Leonard ever go to the grocery store and she catches them on the way, they'll in turn do her the favor of getting her stuff she might need.
Yeah, so she's just being friendly, which it's still weird to me, but she's their friend.
Yeah,
so whatever. And so they're driving to the grocery store and she's trying to cheer him up by telling him that when one door closes, another door opens, and he takes it very literally.
Yeah.
That's another problem I had with it. Like, I don't know, maybe it's because he has the Asperger's, just Asperger's, that he can't help what he says, but he understands being literal, right? Like, he's smart enough to understand when not to take things too literally, right? I don't know how it works.
Well, I remember there was a joke in one of the later episodes where Penny, I'm trying to remember the context, but Penny essentially says, oh, so sue me. And then Sheldon's response was, oh, forgive me, Penny, but that would be a frivolous lawsuit. So from what my memory, I think there is stuff he'll take, what's the term? Face first or?
Face value.
Yes, there are things he will take at face value. And then there are other episodes where he'll smirk and understand that someone is being sarcastic.
Mm.
you know, I think the writers definitely bend that to their will.
Yeah, yeah, kind of, yeah. But it didn't work this time. Writers trying to get that one past me. And then he starts criticizing her driving because I guess she's going 51 miles per hour. I don't know the normal speed limits where they are, but he's telling her.
Oh, and he is a backseat driver.
Oh, yeah. And then he gets distracted by the putt-putt golf course.
oh, yeah.
I guess just for the sake of ending the scene, just to get him out of that conversation, I guess. And so when he gets to the supermarket, and he's kind of annoying Penny, just following her around, making little comments about everything that she's picking up. And she's trying to get some multivitamins, and he's telling her that, you know, that it's not going to work and stuff. Okay, so that's just a real brief scene. This is actually from when they get back to the apartment, and he says that he had fun at the grocery store, and he wants to go to a bulk warehouse. Or a warehouse department store to shop in bulk. And I don't know, from the sound of it, I was just like, has he never been to a grocery store? Is that what we're kind of implying here? That since he's never had a day off, he's never been to a store? I don't know why he's acting like it's such a new experience for him. I don't know.
I wonder if Leonard does a lot of the shopping. I wonder if...
Maybe. I mean, I can...
Yeah.
I can see that. But I would see them doing it together also.
Yeah, no, yeah, because that makes more sense, but I wouldn't be surprised if maybe it just didn't get mentioned that Leonard did most of the shopping, but yeah. Anyway.
And so when he's talking about shopping in bulk, he wants to convince Penny to get some tampons. Oh, no, I think he says that he's noticed that she buys them in bulk, right?
Or no, yeah, he was suggesting that she should buy them in bulk. Because rather than like buy them once a month, you could buy a supply that would last you a while. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is he didn't realize the way he went about asking her questions about how frequently she uses them. Mm-hmm. Is she regular? It doesn't occur to Sheldon. He's asking very invasive questions that Penny would get offended by.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Penny would not want to discuss those answers with him.
Yes. And she does get offended. And especially when he says that he's trying to be more familiar with when her cycles start. And so in the next scene, Leonard comes in and he remarks that he saw Penny and that she seemed upset. And Sheldon says that it must be that it's her time of the month and that he's marked it down for future reference. And that actually made me laugh. I'm going to say that was the best joke of the episode. I think just because in the previous scene, it did seem really annoying that he was doing it and inappropriate. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of just brought it back in a later scene the very next scene. But it led up to something. It built up to something. And I guess that's why I appreciated it. And so Sheldon is, when Leonard walks in, Sheldon's feeding a bunch of goldfish in separate bowls. And he's trying to make them glow so that he can make goldfish nightlights.
And then hence the title of the episode, yes. The Illuminary Fish something, right?
I forgot what the last word was. But yeah, yes. It's a reference to the title. Or the title is a reference to this scene. And then he also considers...
The luminous fish effect. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. And then he, while he's kind of going on about this being a great idea, he also considers glow-in-the-dark tampons, which, yay, more of this jokes. More of these jokes.
Yeah, it's a joke that keeps on giving.
Yeah, at least once a month. And then... in the next scene, oh man, this was weird. This struck me as an odd thing. So in the next scene, Laurie Metcalf is with Leonard, and they're coming up the steps, and I was just
another
like...
Another Roseanne reunion.
It was, and I was totally unaffected by it, and I have nothing against Laurie Metcalf, but I think it's more just... She's more of a familiar staple of sitcoms now. Like, I'm not, I feel like I can't just associate her just with one specific, although, yeah, she's, you know, Aunt Jackie, but I feel like I've seen her in enough other sitcoms to where it didn't seem out of place not out of place, but just, it didn't stand out as something special to see her in this. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I think there's that, and like, it's a bigger deal for Sarah Gilbert and Johnny Galecki to have a scene together versus Laurie Metcalf and Johnny Galecki to have a scene together.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Like, it's kind of like an, oh, cool, but it's not as cool as the previous.
Yeah, and I think the context of the Sarah Gilbert scene, also because they were going to go on a date, I was just like, oh, okay, cool. Well, you know, that's an obvious reference to the show, but yeah, having having them interact together in this one, it didn't seem as nostalgic. I wasn't as moved by it, which is a shame, you know, but also, oh yeah, yeah. So he brings her up to the apartment, and it turns out she's Sheldon's mom, and he brought her in to confront him, and he's working on a loom, making a poncho, which he's wearing while he's
he's wearing a very multicolored, multi-patched poncho.
Yes, and he's obviously very upset that Leonard went over his head and called his mom in. And they tell him, well, hey, you haven't left the apartment in 3 weeks. And that was just to go to the grocery store with Penny. And he says, well, then pretty soon in the next week, it's almost her full cycle or whatever, you know? And I was just
he said, like, with a very agitated Penny, and he's like, oh, give her a week, she's going to get worse or something like that.
Something like that. And I was just, I wrote in my notes, another period joke. Yay.
That one was a good one. Liked that one.
I didn't care for it. I was like, enough of this.
Oh, I liked it just because it seemed like he was kind of keeping track.
No, yeah, he definitely is. He made that very statement in the last scene.
Yeah, that he was going to commit it to memory.
Yeah. I also wrote down that Southern accent seems to come out of nowhere, because just like pretty much out of nowhere, his mom has a very Southern accent.
Hang on. Comes and goes. Pause. Well, I don't know about Laurie Metcalf, but Jim Parsons is from Texas, like East Texas, so he does have an accent throughout.
Okay.
It's very subtle. It's very subtle, but yes, it gets stronger in certain episodes.
Okay. Fair enough.
Sorry, just saying.
But her accent just sounded very unusual, and it, like I said, in her first few lines of dialogue, you couldn't even tell it was there, and then all of a sudden it just comes out of nowhere, laying it on thick.
Sorry, I thought you were talking about Jim Parsons.
Yeah, man, fuck that guy too. No, I'm just kidding.
No, her accent sounds forced a little bit.
No, it super is, yeah. I didn't, I was just like, whoa. And, so you basically find out that she's kind of like a Bible thumper, and through context clues you kind of reveal that his dad was kind of, I guess, a hick from what I can tell, right?
No, you kind of don't. Where I'm at, you don't know too much about his dad, but yeah, they very much play into a Southern archetype when Sheldon recalls stories of growing up.
Yeah, because I think they say they refer to a story where he fought a bobcat for some licorice, that he used to use dynamite to fish, and I want to say there was one more thing, one more reference that they made about him, but I forgot what it was. But I don't know if I'm sure he's in the Young Sheldon, but I don't know. Do we ever meet him on this show?
No. Well, it's my understanding the father passed away.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you're right, because in the, that happens later, in the finale of this episode. So, while they're in the kitchen, Howard hits on Sheldon's mom, or, you know, kind of makes a charming remark about how she's so attractive, and she makes a sort of an insensitive remark about Raj not being able to eat chicken, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I was leading to nothing with that, other than
no. Well, it's because she makes the very ignorant comments you would expect someone from the South to make.
Yeah, actually.
Because she asked Raj specifically, like, "Oh, is the chicken one of those magical animals you can't eat?" And Raj just shakes his head.
Yeah, the reason I made note of it was because she's kind of dismissive about it, like it's kind of something that she's just like taking very lightly, you know?
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, and then this comes up again in a little bit when they sit down to eat.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah. So, well, yeah, we'll just get into that. So, well, while she's trying to say grace before they have dinner, she tells Raj and Howard that they can be excluded from it if they want, because Howard is Jewish.
Howard is Jewish.
Yeah, and Raj is
Indian. Is he Hindu or Muslim? I think he's Hindu.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, because I could swear that comes up in another episode. Okay. But yeah, it was just kind of funny that she's like, you all don't have to participate in this, but when I say amen, you need to say amen or something like that. I could swear that's what the mom said.
I think she told them they don't have to say amen.
Oh, I thought they did, but that they didn't have to do the prayer part.
She also tells a story about how Sheldon, when he was 13 years old, tried to build a nuclear reactor to give the whole neighborhood power, and that the government shut him down when he tried to order uranium online.
Oh.
And so he was so distraught that he went and tried to build a death ray to blast away the other kids in the neighborhood. Which, again, probably points to why Penny is so nice to him, because one day he's going to go postal and take out the entire building. And
I disagree, but anyway.
You don't think so? Even with this story of what a maniac he was? No? All right.
No, I don't think it's that. Go ahead.
Anyways, there was also a scene, in that same scene, where Sheldon's mom remarks that Leonard and Penny make a cute couple. And it's...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It comes out of nowhere. There's no... I don't know what her frame of reference is, but they're not doing anything couple-ish. I don't know. It just kind of
annoyed me. They're just kind of, like, seated nearby each other, I think.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's all it is. I don't even think they say anything cute to each other or anything, and then they both seem very embarrassed, and
yeah
they're not Leonard's not playing it very cool, and but that was pretty, I don't know, it's one of those sitcom things that always happens that never really happens in real life, I guess.
I don't know, it's so funny. There's too many, and maybe it's just because of all the movies and TV I watch, there's too many times where I feel like I've had different, you know, and different moments throughout where it's like, oh God, this feels like this is straight out of a movie. Right. yeah, that's why I'm trying to think, like, that might have happened to me.
Oh, maybe, but I don't know. I think just the setup for it didn't feel earned is why it's most upsetting in this episode, because like I said, they weren't doing anything. They weren't being flirty. They were just in the same vicinity. She might as well have told Raj and Howard that they make a cute couple, but unfortunately, the Bible frowns upon it, so she obviously wouldn't tell them that. And so while they're eating, Sheldon comes in, and he's sneaking around like a deer. He's coming for some food, Leonard goes and scolds him, and Sheldon runs off.
Yay. Well, no, yeah, didn't it? It's because Mom made the cobbler, and Sheldon came and got the cobbler, and Leonard tried to get him to stay, and he just ran back to his room.
Right.
Yeah. And then didn't the mom make a comment being like, "You don't hunt, do you, Leonard?"
Yeah, exactly.
Because she was narrating Sheldon earlier as if he was like a deer in the wild or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And so then Sheldon's mom goes to She goes and tells Sheldon that he has to apologize to get his job back, and she basically tells him that he shouldn't be letting people know how dumb they are, because they don't like it, and that's why he got his ass kicked all the time, and that's why he tried building that death ray, and that's why one day he's gonna snap and wipe out the entire apartment building.
You're really with that going postal thing, aren't you?
Why not? It's the quiet ones you got to worry about. Or, yeah, the ones that, you know, you never suspect. Those are the ones you got to be most suspicious of.
Oh, my gosh.
And so she goes and escorts him down to his former office, or his workplace. And she makes him apologize to the doctor, the boss guy, whatever. And I guess he's putting the moves on her. I guess he's saying, "What's up, girl?"
Oh, they're being a little flirty.
Yeah, yeah, and that is oh, where yeah. where she says, "My husband's dead and has been for long enough, you know, for me to consider getting back in the game." And then the boss man, Dr. Gabelhauser, he says, "Sheldon, get out of here so I can plow your mom." And he closes the door, and I think Leonard just happens to be there. I guess he works there too, right? Maybe?
Yeah, they both work at the university. They're both string theory.
Okay, great. And they head off together. And,
Sheldon got his job back.
Yeah, because the doctor, Gabelhauser, he says, isn't there some work you should be doing? Get out of here.
Yeah.
Give me some alone time. And then back in the apartment, his mom comes in and says, and he asks her, "Is Dr. Gabelhauser going to be my new dad?" And she says, "Maybe." And it's very ominous the way she says maybe. Like, I don't know. So kind of something dark about it, but.
she may or may not have hooked up with the professor, yes. or I mean, with the head of the department.
Something out of Forrest Gump right there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too when I watched it.
Yeah. And then Sheldon, he pulls up the sheets and he turns over in bed and he looks at his glowing goldfish.
Yep.
And I just thought, wouldn't it be cool if that goldfish just like explodes?
No!
And takes out the entire building.
Oh my god.
That'd be great.
You legit want to see him go postal and do like a sniper situation, don't you?
Well, in this scenario, no. It was an accidental, like, just a complete scientific anomaly that a glowing goldfish would just explode with the power of, you know.
Illuminescence?
No, with the power of like a C4 bomb. That would be pretty cool. Man. I honestly would have laughed.
But that's not the story you got, Chris, was it? It's not.
I didn't like this episode.
I thought it was okay.
Nah. I feel like granted, going over this commentary or recap, I feel like there were a few instances where I did kind of stretch it to just to complain for no reason. but there was plenty in this that I didn't enjoy. And it was a bummer. I think especially after the last episode, I was kind of thinking like, yeah, things are gonna go better. And no, man, this is why I never opened my heart to anyone.
Aww.
But
why you joke like that?
No, it's not a joke. I honestly don't open my heart to anyone anymore. Never again. Aww. Sheldon. What else?
That's a different podcast altogether, isn't it?
Yes, it is. 30-something with Rosina and Chris.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And George.
Listen your to 30-something it. Podcast. Mm-hmm. But what was I going to say? I think you would really like, in a few episodes, it's going to be the Halloween episode. I think you'll like that one.
Okay.
So at least let's see if we can make it to the end of season one for you. Yeah. And if you don't remember, if you're obviously not feeling this, you can honestly say you tried.
Yeah, I think so. Because also I'm thinking about it and I'm just like, who's this podcast for? If it's for fans of The Big Bang Theory, they don't want to hear me just bash it. And if it's for people who don't care about it, they probably don't want to hear about it at all. So, so maybe season one is probably asking a bit much. Unless I love it by the end of it.
True.
But it's still my goal, damn it. I'm still going to do it. Because I don't know if you're aware of... Have you ever heard of the Worst Idea Ever podcast?
No, I don't think I have.
So in the first season, it's these two guys. And I've never listened to it, but I've heard of it. And a friend of mine told me he listened to it. And it's these two guys that for a year straight, every single day, they watched Grown Ups 2. And I guess I guess they did like weekly updates of like just different things that they just started to notice and just their progress and how it was affecting their mentality.
And
that was season one, and then I think in season two they did Sex and the City Part 2, the movie.
And they watched it every day for a year?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
So
interesting.
If those guys can hit it big with that, I can hit it big with this worst idea of all time.
We can try to hit it big with this.
Yeah. Why not? People love this kind of stuff. So.
Well, you like, I don't know. I mean, like, there is something to be said about podcasts that just talk about, you know, everybody's favorite TV shows.
Right.
There's a market for it, you know?
Yeah.
So you're not wrong there. But yeah, I think you kind of have the right idea with wanting to do WandaVision in real time. I think that would be good.
Yeah.
And it's us doing this show that, you know, the last season was a year or two ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, when this probably would have had a little more pickup then.
Yeah, I think maybe even doing something a little bit older, like I've never seen Cheers either.
So
doing something like that and seeing how it holds up. Me and George last time were talking about Perfect Strangers. That was something I used to watch when I was a little kid.
Me too.
Revisiting that would probably be something maybe worthwhile. I don't know. Maybe step by step, the whole TGIF lineup.
You know what I would love, and I'm wondering if I'm sure there is because there's a podcast for everything.
Yeah.
When I would stay with my grandma, she has my cousin bought her season one and two of I Love Lucy.
Oh.
And it blew. Believe it or not, those episodes are still really funny to today. Like that comedy, that sitcom stood the test of time. And, you know, she's such an icon. So I would love to do an I Love Lucy recap.
Wow, cool.
And, you know, and it'd be fun because it was the early 1950s. It would be kind of fun to compare how life is now versus then. And there were a lot of little things I noticed too when watching the series, like, it was super inappropriate for a woman to be around when men were doing dirty jokes. Just I don't know. It's just really interesting, you know, that kind of dichotomy.
Yeah. Well, you know, a fun fact, I've never seen an episode of I Love Lucy either.
Oh, no way. Yeah. Oh, Chris, you're missing out. That was like some of the best TV, or it is the best TV, you know?
And it's not even out of like some sort of protest or anything like that. I've just never gotten around to it.
When I was a kid, it was on Nick at Night for a little while, so that's how I first started seeing it. And then, like I said, over the years when I'd go to my grandma's, we'd always see it.
Yeah, I think I was just because I'm the same age as you. I'm a little bit older.
Just a year older, I think.
Yeah. And I think when it did start playing on Nick at Night, I think I was still at that age though where like black and white meant that it was not good or relevant or anything. So I think that's why I completely missed out on it.
I see. That's interesting. Yeah. No, it's interesting to me. Like, oh, and I gave it the time of day. Okay.
No, I mean, a lot of people did. I'm a rarity. True. Yeah. But no, I mean, yeah, sure. I wouldn't mind checking that out.
Oh, okay. We'll talk later about these ideas we have.
Yes. The definitely different things we can visit later on in the show. But yeah, like you said, next week, WandaVision.
Right.
I'm here for it. And I'm really excited to have the opportunity to do it on a week-by-week basis instead of just binging it all in one weekend.
Yeah.
I really don't like doing that.
And they are, correct me if I'm wrong, they are going to do it. They are going to drop an episode week by week, right? It's not.
Well, the first week it's two episodes. And then after that, it's just 1 week.
Oh, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, interesting.
From what I read, I think it's going to be 30 minutes, which is also just a thing that I love because these hour long series are sometimes just, they really just try to pad the time. Yeah.
No, I know what you mean. When I watched the first season of Glow, we actually finished it in a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
And I even posted about it on Facebook saying I loved that it was only the episodes are only 30 minutes long.
Yeah. When I first started watching it too, I was expecting it to be an hour because just everything's an hour. And yeah, well, once I just breezed through, I want to say half of it in one day. I was just like, ah, this is pretty great. I wish more shows would do this. You know.
I know.
Less episodes, shorter run times. I'm all about it.
But, well, yeah, as far as the whole like quality versus quantity thing, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because if you're trying to do, like, The Walking Dead is always trying to do what 13 to 16 hours a season, and that's too much. I think.
They started doing it where like it's like the mid season. It was like two seasons in one. Like the mid season would mid-season finale would mark, okay, like, the end of one story arc, and then another story arc to carry over to the other mid-season.
Yeah, but...
Or the second, yeah.
Even then, yeah, because they were doing that for a while, but even then, it's pretty hit or miss. There's, like, they'll have 1 week, they'll have a good episode, then they'll have a bad episode, then they'll have a good episode, and it's just like, what are you doing? Just give me... Just cut your episodes by half, and just get rid of all the bad ones. just condense it all down to one good story, one story worth telling. But nope, they couldn't even do that, and I abandoned ship later than I should have, for sure.
Well, who knows? Maybe because I remember the first season is only 9 episodes, and then the second season is where the seasons got longer. So who knows? Yeah. Maybe they should have stuck to a 9 episode format. I don't know.
No, yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, well, no, because it's funny. I remember when watching the first season, I remember thinking, like, I felt like I was watching a movie. And I mean that as a compliment to the show. Mm-hmm. And what was I going to say? But yeah, like, it is noticeable the direction that, you know, things shifted in the second season. And that's when they lost Frank Darabont.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. And... that's another criticism about shows. Also, anything that goes beyond, I'm gonna say 4 seasons is reasonable, maybe 5. But once you're getting into double digits, just fucking give it a rest, man. You're running out of ideas.
Oh man, I have a feeling the Grey's Anatomy and Supernatural crowds are gonna come after you.
Yeah, come after me. I don't care.
Oh man, shit. No, but I know what you're saying. It's I like, because honestly, I stopped watching Walking Dead like maybe around season 7 or towards the end of season 6, and yeah, like I think it's not the easiest thing to stick with a show past 5 seasons. Like, you really have got to be a diehard fan.
Yeah,
and you know, at what point are you just watching out of loyalty too? You know.
Yep.
Yeah,
I think because after the third season is when I wanted to walk out on The Walking Dead, no pun intended, and but I still stuck with it but just like real half-heartedly and just kind of begrudgingly until I don't remember what season it was where Carl finally died. I think it was pretty.
Oh recent. Yeah,
I think it was like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, but it's also I think I even made a point to see that episode or see the clip of that episode. And it was, I don't know. Yeah, it was a few years ago, and it was kind of sweet though. Cause I remember somebody like, cause he was the actor wanted to go to college, and somebody made a point to say, like, I think we should thank this kid. Like, he gave us like pretty much his childhood, and you know, like, we wish him well or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was really sweet.
Okay, well, that makes sense. I thought it was just like a ratings thing where they were just like, we need to do something sensational.
I think Carl's still alive in the comic books. But yeah, no, it's because he wanted to go to college.
It was a bad episode, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, really? Oh, you know what I heard? Maybe not this last season, but the season in previous when they got a new showrunner. The episode started to get good again. That's kind of what I saw on Twitter. And I like, they were showing one of the mid season finales and kind of how shocking it was supposed to be. Cause you saw everyone that died in that mid season finale. Uh-huh. And, Yeah, no, I'm curious. I'm curious, like, how the shows got better towards the end of this.
Yeah, maybe. I'd probably just watch, like, a highlight reel. I wouldn't go back and watch the whole
thing. I actually did watch recaps for, okay. I think, season 7 and 8, I think.
Oh, okay. Did it seem like it got better?
You know, there's something kind of satisfying about seeing the recap, but it's also in seeing the recap, you're like, oh, my God, they were trying to do another, like, trap for somebody and it failed. Mm. You know what I mean? Yeah. I was noticing recurring themes like that.
Mm. Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, so that, I don't know. So I guess there's some good and bad in seeing those recaps.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's better than watching the whole season and just being like, they're doing this again, they're doing... Like, at least with the recap, you just get it over with in just one, like...
In 10 minutes.
10 minutes? Even better.
Mm-hmm.
The Walking Dead, we're coming after you.
I know, we just spent a lot of time bitching about a great show. An otherwise great show.
Yeah. It has potential, but they just... Like I said, they're just spreading themselves too thin, I think.
Mm.
But yeah, I guess that'll be it for this episode, and we'll be back next week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And thank you, guys. Thank you for being here also, Selena.
Of course.
And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening.